It's brand new, season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard on VSiN.
Off and running. Here we go. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Polly Howard, live with you in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Coming up on today's three-hour extravaganza, Rocky Boyman is going to join us in 30 minutes. Former Super Bowl champ, now a host in Cincinnati. We'll talk a little Bengals with him coming up at that time. Some concerns maybe with the Bengals? Joe Burrow? Appendectomy? Brad Powers, 90 minutes. Why was he jamming kiosks in Las Vegas before 6 a.m. earlier this week? And the return of the great Chuck Edel. Let me tell you, folks, for those of you new to the show, Chuck Edel took the last couple of years off. Preseason football, this guy going back to when this network first started 5-6 years ago, and even way before that, obviously. We've known Chuck for a long, long time. He's the best I know at betting preseason football. And now it's becoming more and more popular all the time. But he was also, during the season a couple years ago, he went on a 20-1 run on Friday picks.
He's awesome with college football totals.
Legendary status.
Yes. Absolutely. And a good guy.
Yep. Really good guy. Okay, so what did we learn from last night's two preseason games? Let's start with the game that kicked off first. And they were both basically going on at the same time. But the Giants and the Patriots, first of all, the Giants covered the first half. I don't know how they did, but they had that miraculous tip pass that was caught for a big gainer on 3rd and 11 after the bad penalty they took, and they came down and they eventually scored to cover the first half. But then as the game we talked about yesterday, I mean, that middle spot last night, where it opened up, Patriots favored, then the Giants go off as a three-point favorite, telling people, look, you can't lay the 3 points right now if you want to bet the Giants. If you want to bet them still, maybe look at the money line. And that's exactly what happened last night by that team kicking the field goal late to win 23-20.
And I'm glad we had that discussion about once you see a number of 1, 2, 2.5, take the money line and then take the points with the dog, because you'll be surprised how many times the game falls 1 or 2. And bam, it happens in that game.
Yep. I mean, Paul, I can expand on that here for a second, because if you go back and look throughout the when the NFL implemented the two-point conversion, in the regular season, the most common landing spots since 1994 are 3, 7, 10, 6, and 14. In the NFL preseason, the landing spot of 1 is the third most popular, or it happens the third most times, which is incredible.
Yeah, yeah. You, as you said earlier in the week, don't want overtime. Right. But that was, you know, not bad out of Danny Dimes. They had the drop on the first drive. You saw Taylor played well. Good numbers. They had a couple turnovers. And I was surprised with all the action that Zappe got. But not much to report from the New England side as they didn't play many people. But the Giants, you know, going back now, I guess based on the closing number, that's now a 10-2 run for Belichick in the preseason ATS.
Right.
But, you know, some good and bad with the Giants.
I would say Danny Dimes on that, the one drive where they went down to eventually take a 3-0 lead, he had a guy wide open.
Several times.
Oh, the one pass I can't get out of my head. It was like at the red zone. It's first down. It's going to be a gainer to get him much closer to the red. Who knows how big of a gain that's going to be. The guy's there. Nobody's even close to him. And he overthrows him by 2 yards. And the guy's got to jump up like, hey, Danny, I'm right here. How do you not get me the ball?
Yep. Yep. Other observations. I'm glad we talked to Mike Pereira earlier in the week. A taunting call on the DB for the Giants for signaling incomplete.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Well,
this is how we're starting the season.
Here's what I would tell people today, right? Because we wait all year long for football to come back. And what happens like in game number two out of the gates, like, damn it, these stupid calls suck and it's nothing but pissing and moaning. I would say just don't whine about it because it's going to happen and it's going to suck. I fully admit that. Was it a taunting call? To me, it was absolutely preposterous. But what's the point in crying over that when you know the NFL is going to have silly calls and they want to emphasize something like that to begin the season? Just get used to it. You're going to have to suck it up. And I hate it, but there's nothing else you can do.
Yep. And the other story that won't go away is who's calling the plays.
Right? That's a huge story.
So it was Patricia with Hoyer, and then when Zappe came in, it was Judge, that guy.
How about that?
He was calling the plays.
But then the way they toggle back and forth.
Yes. This is so weird. It doesn't make any sense. With their history, and then what happened with the Giants with Judge and everything. Oh, God. So good. And Belichick in rare form. Get a load of this. So, of course, it's everyone wants to talk about it, right? Who's calling? So Belichick was asked after the game about who's going to be calling the plays.
Yeah, well, you know, we did this game. We did a lot of things in this game that are, you know, going to be beneficial in the long run. So whether it's on the coaching staff, playing time, players played, and so forth. I mean, that's all, you know, part of the process. So I thought it would be a good opportunity for us to do that.
Do you know if one will call plays when the regular season arrives?
Yeah, well, don't worry about that. We'll work it out.
So have you decided?
We're going through a process.
Yeah, that sounds shaky at
best. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
Well, he's always been like that. But,
oh,
I mean,
my God.
So you're going to have to – he's going to have to give an answer at some point.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Otherwise, I mean, I think that, you know, he's had a pass because of the resume at this point. He's going to get barbecued in that area.
Yeah.
Like Billy Boy, you can't do this, man. What's up?
No history there.
Joe Judge.
He's a defensive guy. Judge is a special teams guy.
He's a special teams guy. And by the
Patricia.
Way, he was a disaster with the Giants. Uh-huh. An unmitigated bleeping disaster.
Yes. Okay. Who's going to be calling plays? Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Oh, okay, great. Well, I guess we'll wait then until you tell us to write what we're going to write and talk about what we're going to talk about then. Okay.
He's in rare form. That's great. Well, we'll get to it. Okay. Thanks, Bill. I love it. But and the other thing, I'll tell you, in like 30 years, we'll be telling our friends, and we'll be telling if we have kids about, can you believe what the Ravens once did in the preseason? This is great. 21 in a row.
That's not going to happen again in
no,
our lifetime.
No
I can't
way.
Imagine.
No
I mean,
chance.
Why would it? I mean, who cares
at
all?
We got Rocky coming on in half an hour. I mean, he played 10 years in the league. I can't, like eight different teams. Like 21 in a row and 19-2 ATS.
Yeah.
I mean, and then what we said, I didn't care what Harbaugh said. Didn't bother me because of what we say. Huntley. 16 of 18. And to move the ball, and they get the win. How about that landing spot?
Exactly right.
Open 34, close 32, boom, landed 33.
And for people who were betting that over to get that number, you can thank Justin Tucker, and the Ravens actually playing him last night.
Uh-huh.
Because he's out there bombs away in great, like, midseason form already. I would say takeaways looking ahead to the regular season now. At some point, is Huntley not going to – and I get it. Like, most jobs are filled. Doesn't mean every good, you know, quarterback is good. It's going to have a starting gig in the NFL. But don't you think Huntley should be considered a starter at some point? I mean, if you go back and look at the stretch that he played in last year when Jackson went down, the guy was good. I think it was that game against the Packers where they went nuts on offense.
Mm-hmm.
He can play in this league.
Yeah. He had put up some good numbers. You're right. Almost pulled the upset in some of those games.
Yeah.
And Brown played well, too. Again, these are the type of quarterbacks you want in the second half of preseason
Bingo.
Games. Just to keep drives alive and scramble and are also dink and dunk and mobile quarterbacks. Your thoughts on Willis?
I thought Willis absolutely had his moments last night.
Uh-huh.
And I would be concerned if I'm Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, okay.
I mean, drafting this guy, again, third-round pick, but Willis obviously is going to be the future of this team, at least they think, by putting that draft capital in him. And Tannehill, of course, shaky last year, the horrible playoff game. I thought he absolutely looked good last night. You?
Not bad, yeah. And the ability to take off and run, which I guess he's doing too much of.
Yeah.
And Vrabel doesn't like that. But just, you know, go through your reads. Don't just, oh, guy's not there.
Yeah.
First option, I'm taking off and running.
Right. And okay, so Vrabel, a little unhappy with how much he was taking off last night. He told the media that after the game.
Well, I need to try to throw the ball when guys are open, be more decisive. And so we'll evaluate that and, you know, see if there's a timing issue or what's going on. But just wanted to get him out there. I wanted to, see how he responded.
I know you got time.
He did okay. You know, I mean, there were some good plays and obviously some plays that, you know, we're going to have to look at the timing on the release and if we're making the right decisions.
So where does that Ravens number open up? They play next Sunday, the 21st, at Arizona. By default, are they going to make them 3.5? And we have no idea what Kingsbury's going to do at this point yet, but it's just going to be, you got to put a
if they don't
premium
play,
on him.
Sure, right. Or will they play Lamar? What does Kingsbury do? National TV game as well? Oh, all the makings, right?
Yeah. But 21 straight, Paul.
I can't believe it. Not only that, it's 26-4 ATS going back to 2013. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's also for the first half, what is it, 16-5? I'll get that number here
in a second. The first half number, that's another one.
16-5 or 15-6 ATS in the first half going back. That's insane, man.
Yeah.
So it's first half, it's the game, it's whoever plays quarterback. They kill these teams in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
I would say on the flip side, again, Willis looked good last night. Some of my concerns. Throw me a number right now. What do you think Treylon Burks' number is this year for receiving yards at the moment at Bet Rivers? He played last night with he got one target. It was from Woodside, who was terrible in the game. He threw two INTs. He's a first-round pick.
800 yards, 750?
750 and a half.
750 and a half?
Is that not tempting to, pound that under today?
He's lining up and not lining up correctly?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, boy.
He's going to go over, and you know, we had that guest on last month who's like, I tracked all this from last year.
Right.
A lot of the stuff goes under. I know that people think he's going to replace A.J. Brown, and they're going to have those targets go somewhere. 750 and a half yards?
Yep.
Yeah,
and Woods is coming off an injury. So these are his go-to guys,
yeah,
his weapons?
And Tannehill, remember now, 3,700 was available. That's down 200 yards now at Bet Rivers. That's 3,500 yards.
Yeah.
22.5 touchdowns, 12.5 INTs for Tannehill and his player props throughout the regulars. Burke, 750? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm saying this could be a total overreaction to what we saw last night and how they used him, but that looks very tempting today.
Yep, all the makings. They missed the playoffs. Colts run away with the division. Yep. Come on.
Yeah.
They lost too much and concerns about the quarterback position, and you could be right. I think there could be a quarterback change sooner rather than later.
Yep. The first hour of Follow the Money is brought to you exclusively by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Check out their daily specials at betrivers.com. Win some, lose some coming up next. And updated numbers for tonight's preseason games up next here on Follow the Money. It is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
VSEN, the sports betting network.
College football guide is out. NFL guide coming out in a few weeks. Best bets on season win totals. Who's going to finish where? What conference? Player awards. And the only way to get access to this year's football betting guides, become a VSEN All Access subscriber. Discounted rate right now. You get the college and pro football betting guides along with the All Access through the Super Bowl, or join us for $40 a month. Up your betting game with VSiN, VSiN.com/subscribe.
Heavy, heavy football show today over the next 3 hours, obviously. And Rocky Boyman is kind enough to wake up early with us here this morning. Former Super Bowl champ, played in the NFL for a long time, now a host in Cincinnati. Rocky, thanks for the time today. How are you?
Fellas, good morning. How are you out there?
Doing really well, really well. We appreciate the time today. I wanted to ask you about, you know, this Bengals team. A lot to get into about them, obviously. There's been this thing going back many, many years about a hangover for the team that lost the Super Bowl. We also have Joe Burrow's appendectomy that he's going through right now, obviously. So any concerns with this team early on here in camp as we get ready for the season?
Yeah, it's kind of an odd dynamic because, yeah, I mean, first of all, this is Joe Burrow's first real off season where he's been able to concentrate on just football. You know, I mean, his first year is you know, COVID's going on. Then last year, it's spent most of the off season rehabbing the knee. So on a positive note, he gets most of the off season here, OTA days and all that, to concentrate on just football, just getting rapport with wide receivers and all that. And then boom, out of the blue comes this appendectomy thing where, and guys, I mean, a few days after that surgery, you know, he was spotted on the field looking, I mean, just terribly uncomfortable. I mean, you know, hardly could, you know, walk and move around and twist and turn. And the thing with an injury like that is it's unlike, you know, say you had like a shoulder inflammation or an ankle twist or something. There's things you can still do. You can still ride a bike. You can still work out a little bit. But with an appendectomy, you're kind of just sitting around for 2 weeks. So I think there's a little concern there. I know he started to throw a little bit on the side. I ultimately don't think it's going to be a big deal, but, you know, I would personally like to see him be able to get some reps in there with three new offensive linemen. You know, they revamped that offensive line this year in the offseason. And the other dynamic, too, guys, is the camp for the Bengals has been extraordinarily easy. And I know I'm kind of an old head right now, and I played back when there was, like, real two-a-days and all that, but I mean, there's off days and guys aren't practicing. And I get it because the season went so long last year, right? In the middle of February. So the thought process by Zach Taylor, the head coach, is, hey, let's make sure we don't peak in like October. And I understand that. And if you look at the Bengals schedule early on, the games are a little bit easier, you know, per se, you know, New York, Miami, Dallas. So in theory is, hey, let's kind of ease into this thing. Let's win some of those early games and then we'll peak in December. The only problem is if you kind of aren't ready, right, and you're not ready to face Pittsburgh week one, who's banging in camp and really having a good, hard, tough camp, you kind of set yourself behind the eight ball. So it's a little interesting dynamic. I hope they know what they're doing out there, and we'll find out. Yeah.
Interesting. How do you think this plays out with safety Jesse Bates? Obviously, it's no surprise that he's been missing in camp, but do you think they're going to come to an agreement at some point this season?
No, he's going to play under the franchise tag, or he's not going to play at all. And let's face it, he's not going to sit out the season. And look, I like Jesse Bates. Every fan likes Jesse Bates. He's a leader. But, you know, you can't pay everybody. You just can't do it. And especially a safety. I think he's a good safety. I'm not paying a safety top money in the NFL unless his name is Ed Reed, Troy Polamalu, Bob Sanders, or Derwin James, right? I think so. I don't think he's at that level. And let's face it, you look at this Bengals roster here. Before we know it, Joe Burrow's contract's going to be up, and that's going to be in the tune of like $400 million, right? Jamar Chase's contract's going to be up. T. Higgins' contract is going to be up. So there's so many mouths to feed on this Bengals roster. It's a great roster. I wish it were different, but I think Jesse Bates is going to come in. I guess he's going to sit out camp, which I don't really understand. If you're him, why would you not want to come out and say, look, I want to have my absolute best year here, and then I'll just go absolutely kill it on the free agent market next year. But nevertheless, he'll be back. He'll play, and I think it should just move on. And they drafted his replacement, Dax Hill, in the first round out of Michigan this year. So I think that's how it's going to play out.
So now, Rocky, teams obviously have a full year of film on Jamar Chase and how effective he was as a rookie. But they also, I mean, they could tell last year during the season, like, oh, my God, we got a game plan for this guy. He's so good. What do you think he does for an encore? And then because of that revamped offensive line, which has to be better this year, again, I love what they did in the offseason. What are your realistic expectations for Joe Mixon? There's a prop up, a season-long prop, where his rushing yards is 1,075 yards.
Yeah, it's again, very interesting because the Bengals did what every Bengals fan wanted, and that's address the offensive line. Brought in three new guys, Alex Kappa from Tampa Bay. They bring in Karras from New England, and then they got Lael Collins, who just started practicing yesterday from the Cowboys. So, you know, and that's, you know, Bengals fans have been asking for that for like probably since I was a kid, and they finally did it, and they knew they had to do it because they got a great team and a great quarterback. So I expect that to be much better. I'm looking forward to watching. I mean, if Joe Burrow can put up the numbers he did last year, 4,600 pass yards and 34 touchdowns with that offensive line, what can he do with a really good offensive line? I guess the flip side of that is the schedule. You know, I mean, especially the back half of the schedule. After the bye week, it's Pittsburgh, Tennessee, Tampa Bay, you know, Buffalo, some of the top defenses in the league. So I think if they can come together and gel together and play well, which I don't think has happened in camp so far, I think it will. But I could see even a guy like Joe Mixon, who had 1,200 yards last year, I think, you know, certainly not outside the realm of possibility for him to go over that, 1,075 mark.
Yep. Now things have changed there. The Bengals go to the Super Bowl, and now the job Fickell is done with the Bearcats, and they make the playoff. What do you think? They put a lot of guys in the NFL, and they get Arkansas week one. Do you still think they can win double-digit games and the best team in that conference?
Yeah, nine guys go in the draft, six from a defense, and you're talking, you know, Sauce Gardner and Kobe Bryant, two of just lockdown corners. I mean, you're talking for 3 years, you know, the game plan was, all right, Sauce, you take care of that half the field, and we'll talk to you after the game, you know, and then everyone else had to worry about the rest. I was just out at their camp yesterday, and yes, they lose a bunch of guys, including their quarterback, Des Ritter, who was there for three straight years, but I think this Bearcat team is not going to miss a beat. You know, now, is it going to be tough opening game at Arkansas with a new quarterback? And they got a QB battle going on right now. Yes, but I mean, you look at the body. I've been going out the higher ground is where they have their camp, and it's like 8 minutes from my house, which is like the only thing in the world that's 8 minutes from my house. And you know, I've been going out there for over 10 years. And just to, you know, during the Tommy Tuberville days and all that, and just to see the body types then versus now, I mean – if you put, you know, I don't know if you put Ohio State jerseys on these guys, it would look like that. You know what I mean? You're talking defensive backs that are all 6'1", 6'2", can run, receivers that can run, offensive linemen who are big. So they've done a great job recruiting. Luke Fickell, I think, develops teams better than any coach out there that I can, you know, really think of. I mean, he's so good at obviously getting the players, but once they're there, getting them to buy in. They're having a camp that's, you know, it's tough. You're competing from 8:15 in the morning to like 11. It's really, really good. And I, you know, again, I think they may struggle in that opening game there, but I certainly see double digit wins out of the Bearcats.
Oh, okay. Very good. And the favorites to win that conference. 2 minutes left. What grade would you give Skyline Chili?
It's an A+. Guys, if I were going to the electric chair here tonight,
okay,
my last meal would be 4 cheese conies, no onion. From Skyline Chili. Maybe throw in a three-way there. That's how strongly I feel about Skyline.
Wow.
How many times a week do you have it?
I had it when my son had a football scrimmage on Wednesday, and we went there after the scrimmage. You know, if I can get, you know, I try to be somewhat healthy, but if I can get it once every 2 weeks, I'm a happy man.
You're a happy guy?
Absolutely.
How far, you said nothing's like 8 minutes from your house. How far are you willing to drive then to go get Skyline?
Oh, well, there is a Skyline close to me. Sir, I would not have moved out here. Me and my wife would not have moved if it was too far away. Okay, let's be real here.
Okay.
All right. So we're still in good shape, yes.
That's awesome. Yeah. You can listen to Rocky Boyman weekdays 3 to 6 Eastern on 700 WLW in Cincinnati. Played at Notre Dame, by the way, fifth in the coaches' poll. Little high to you, or does that sound about right?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, and let me put my Notre Dame Homer hat on here real quick. But I look at this schedule right now, guys, and look, they open at Ohio State. That's a tall task, right? But you look at the rest of these games, I think these are winnable games. Next game's Marshall. You know, they play Clemson. How good is Clemson? I don't really know. I think that's one of the biggest questions in all of college football this year. USC, they play them at the end of the year. I think it'll be great on offense, but defensively, I can't really see where it is. I mean, I can talk myself into 11-1 Notre Dame right now.
Very strong.
Yeah.
Very strong. Rocky, great spot today. Thanks so much for the time, and have a good weekend.
Guys, I appreciate it. Let's do it again sometime. Thanks.
You got it. Well done. Peter King said the same thing about Skyline Chili.
I know.
Loves it.
He's on Twitter, at Rocky Boyman. 50. So, he said something there that sounds awfully familiar. If you want to rewind to last year, I want to expand on that coming up next.
Follow the Money on VSEN, the Sports Betting Network.
Get a $10 free bet when you sign up for the First Bet app, VSiN's preferred horse racing app. Use code HORSE200 for the free $10, plus get 100% match on the first deposit up to $200. With wagering at more than 300 tracks and AI-assisted picks, the First Bet app is the easiest way to bet on your favorite sport. Secure payments, great customer service, reliable website details at VSiN.com/horses.
Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard are here to make you a friend of ours.
That would mean you were made, guy.
Investigating what is and isn't legit.
Plus, that's a fugazi. All right? That's a fugazi. I looked at it for 2 seconds.
Seeing through the lines to make you a better better.
I know you know. And I know you know I know you know.
The FTM Army is being sent for.
In our thing, you get sent for, you go in alive, you come out dead. And it's your best friend that does.
These two wise guys would never steer you wrong.
Forget about it.
This is Real or Fugazi on Follow the Money.
Gotta love it.
Oh,
putting the picture, the faces on the actors too is so good there. Real or Fugazi. The best thing for the NBA is Kevin Durant to the 76ers.
Real. Oh, man.
Wants to play with Harden maybe? But
no.
That's one report, huh?
Fugazi.
Yeah.
Fugazi.
No.
The best thing is to draw this out as long as possible. And then to have a team like Boston panic. And come over the top because they don't want him to go to the 76ers. And
they
say,
panic. They're the favorites.
No, I know that. But they're going to say, in my head right now, you're asking me. So I'm going to say, okay. The Celtics are going to go, wait a second, we can't have him go to the 76ers. You want Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart in picks? Here you go.
I like this report.
The drama would be great.
Oh, yeah. Mark Stein yesterday. There's a growing belief that Durant is trying to manufacture problems to force the Nets to trade him. Oh, you think so, doctor?
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
He asked for the head coach and GM to be fired. I mean, what? Jesus.
Do you think the Nets suck this up? And they just say...
The owner wants no part of this.
But we're not going to trade you, though, either? Be prepared to sit out games?
That's not good for the league.
Do you want to see him go to the 76ers?
Yeah.
You do, huh? I want to see them ship him to Indiana or Washington or Sacramento.
Yeah, could happen.
Say, how does this taste, pal?
Could happen. Okay. Let's see if you have a... Duncan Robinson. I'm the best NBA ping pong player. And it's not bleeping close, he said. It's okay to brag about something like this, real or fugazi.
No, I think that's real.
Yeah.
Sure, I'm okay with that.
The guy, right? I'm a great parallel Parker. I'm awesome at double dribble. That Nintendo game. Corner three! You can't beat me in double dribble.
Well, I would
so good
be careful on that. I mean, you never know who you're going to run up against.
No, come on. Yeah. Oh, I'm confident. You bring them all. Bring them all on double dribble. The corner three, stealing the ball left and right. Yeah,
no,
piece of cake. How about you? Bowling? Nothing wrong with that. You're a great bowler. I mean, if you want to brag about something like that, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at shuffleboard.
Okay.
I think I can hold my own there. I mean, I never play. If I practice, I think I would be really, really good. Bowling, same thing. I could probably, if I got some tutelage, I could probably bump my average up to like 220 or something like that in bowling sometime. But it's can he prove this, though, that he's the best ping pong player and it's not close?
Yeah, in the NBA, I'm the best NBA ping pong player.
Yeah, just because you say it, though, doesn't mean that it's going to be true. Yeah. Because some guy might be sandbagging and be like, okay, that's fine, you can say that, but why don't we play one-on-one sometime?
I ran into that with Tecmo Bowl. I was telling you, then you run into some people, and it's like, okay, well,
yeah,
I got some work to do.
They're on an entirely different level.
Yeah, right, right. Also depends the team you use.
Okay, so I was super high, and I am still. I don't know why I said I was. I am super high on Justin Jefferson going into the season. I have him every which way but loose, Offensive Player of the Year. 300-1 to win the MVP. I think he's going to have just a killer season. Well, that multiplied yesterday when Justin Jefferson said this about the coaching staff.
I mean, just watching Rams highlights and tape of so many different plays that Coop made, and you know, now I see why Coop was wide open so many times. You know, I always was at home like, why is this man wide open? He is the main target, but he's always wide open. But now I see it, you know, just going over the different plays, putting in the different install, seeing the different routes that he ran. It's so wonderful just being in this type of offense now, especially, you know, going over my first 2 years, not being in that style of offense. So it's definitely exciting to see.
Paulie, you hear that?
Yeah.
Jump on the JJ train. Grab all the 20-1 Offensive Player of the Year right now while it's still available. Real or Fugazi?
Oh, that's a tough one. He makes good points. We said it all last year. You know where the ball's going. How's he still, especially on third down. How's he open? In the red zone, too. But that's, And I've bashed Stafford many times, but it's you trust Cousins. He had a good year last year.
Regular season, yes, I do.
For you. Okay, also, okay, but also the report. I'm going to go Fugazi. A little bit of both. The report that they're looking at Thielen more in the red zone, and he wants to be the guy so what does he have to do if he's not getting all the touches?
You know what? I actually think having a good receiver playing opposite you can only help.
Yeah.
Because if it's
But what if they're looking at him exclusively in the red zone?
That's not going to be exclusive. That's not a thing. They can go to Thielen.
Sure it
more.
Is. Brady, look at Brady and Evans.
Well, they're not going to go exclusively to Thielen in the red zone. It's not going to be every pass to him. Jefferson's going to get his share for sure.
Well,
that will happen because
greater emphasis.
Jefferson's too good. Fans were saying that. We're saying that. Coaches are saying that. When the new coach was with the Rams and your stud receiver says, "I'm watching tape all year. How is he so open?" And he's like, "Now I get it."
Why.
That's huge.
All right, a little bit of both.
Another. Okay. This is a video here. This is insane. And I love the pick. I loved him coming out of college. The fact that the Eagles grabbed him on draft night, I was a big fan of that. This Jordan Davis video. I love this. This is black and white, by the way. I'm a huge fan of this. But look at this, Jordan Davis. Now, he's taking a smaller guy. The big fella out of Georgia. Pushes him back like 10 feet, okay?
Jesus.
You see that? He's a man-child.
Oh, God.
He was 25-1 to win Defensive Rookie of the Year this week. Some shops now 12 or 4-1. Real or Fugazi with him.
12 or 4? What'd you say?
12 or 14.
14,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Real. Yeah, why not? My God. That's ridiculous.
He puts him on the sled.
A child. Throwing him around. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We knew he was a beast to begin with. I'm on board. Yeah.
He was. I think he might still find a rogue 25-1 out there somewhere.
Okay.
All right.
I got it. People who back into parking spaces cannot be trusted. Real or Fugazi?
Oh, man. This is one of the worst ones we ever had. It's totally Fugazi. You can trust people more, in my opinion, because I'm a guy who backs into parking spaces. And I'll give you, I can go on this for 10 minutes if you'd like me to.
That's a weird move.
First of all, no, it's not. Because,
explain it.
Okay, how many people, like out here in town, have these monstrous 12, 15-foot trucks or whatever they are?
Yeah.
And they're in parking spots and you have no room to finagle.
Lunatics. Like, I can't. Taking up two spots.
Completely unnecessary, right?
Hold on. Did you do this before the camera?
100% I did. So a lot of times, like pulling in is not easy because you got to get around the big truck and there's another big truck on the opposite side. So if you reverse in, it's much easier. And oh, by the way, one of my biggest pet peeves, I can't trust other drivers. So when I'm coming out, I want to be able to see what other cars are doing because they might not be paying attention. They might make up, phone, whatever. And the people I cannot trust the most in this world are pedestrians. Down here on the strip, awful. Going to a grocery store, department store, let's pick it up a notch here. There's three people. You're walking right down the middle of the lane. Get out of my way.
You see a lot of this downtown.
It happens constantly.
You have a green light as a driver, and they're like, oh, I can just walk.
It's my turn, right? And and they slowly waddle across the lane or the street. It's like, let's move, because when I get out of a grocery store or department store, I'm 2 seconds, baby. I get in the car. I start it. I'm getting out of here because I know other people want that parking spot. Other people should live by the same rules. And I want to see what people are doing because they're taking their time. They might have a stroller. They don't know what's happening. So I want to be able to see that with my, I want, like, looking ahead, left and right, pivoting. I don't want to have to back up and rely on the sensors on my car. I think it's the smart move to back into parking spots.
Wow. Incredible. Play along. Good breakdown.
I cannot stand people leaving stores. I can't stand their philosophy.
Well, the other one is these people going way too fast in these parking lots.
A lot of times, yes. But the people that come out, and how many times are you waiting for a parking spot in general? And the person comes out and they get in the car and it's 3 minutes. It's like, I want to lay on the horn for 5 minutes right now and drive you right off the road. Let's go, people. It's a busy store. It's not about you. Get out of the way. Go home.
I do that at the ATM at the bank or drive-through teller. When the guy puts the tube in. Gets the tube, and they still sit there.
Oh,
and
he counts the money 11 times?
Yeah, he's looking at everything. Okay, take out the wallet.
Yep.
Put the driver's license back in. Count the money. All right, look.
I understand. Like, you need to count the money once. I get it. But that takes 2 seconds.
It's a rare move. How many people are like you? I only know two people that exclusively do that. You and my former general manager back at the old location.
Well, I will say this. A lot of people do it. Not because of the reasons I just laid out. It's they do it because they're hot shots. And that's the part I disagree with.
Okay.
Yeah, backing in, you Mr. Macho Man,
it's
right?
A look at me type thing.
It's a big energy move is what it is. You think it's fake big energy though. It's the opposite of it, in my opinion. But if you're doing it for the right reasons, then it's okay and it's proper.
Yeah, yeah. A little pompous.
Yeah, it can be.
At least you have a breakdown, though. You have your reasons. Okay. Yeah.
All right, up next, college football handicapper Brad Powers is going to join the show. He was jamming a kiosk before 6 a.m. local time one day this week. Man, you have to work to win. He will explain what he was doing, why he was doing it, coming up next.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. Over this nine-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
the Money on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The College Guide, over 300 pages. Adam Burke on power ratings, home field advantage. NFL Guide comes out in a couple weeks. We got profiles on every team, trends, win total predictions, playoff, player awards. And the only way to get access to this year's football betting guide to become an all-access subscriber, sign up early for the discounted rate. You get both guides and full access all the way through the Super Bowl, or join us for $40 a month and see everything we have to offer to up your betting game. VSiN.com/subscribe.
All right, this is going to be a fun conversation, and Brad Powers is an excellent guest, an excellent analyst of college football, a very good bettor on the sport as well. Joins us on Fridays throughout the season. Brad, thanks for the time today. We really appreciate it, as always. You tweeted out earlier in the week, nothing like jamming kiosks before 6 a.m. in Vegas. I know why you were doing this, but can you explain this to the audience? You have to work to win, man. You really do. Why did you do this? What was the news that you heard? And tell us about the whole process and what you did.
Okay, first off, good hearing your voice. I know football season is closing in here. Second of all, money never sleeps. So
yeah.
I just so happen to be up at 5 a.m. It's pretty much at the time I wake up every single day. You know, before I even got out of bed, I just glanced Twitter, and just so happened, it wasn't even broken by the team yet, but a couple of the beat writers, you know, reported that Wake Forest starting quarterback Sam Hartman is going to be out indefinitely with a non-football related, you know, medical condition. So if you don't know who Sam Hartman is, he is a long time, multiple year starting quarterback for Wake Forest, good passer. And most importantly to me, I believe he's one of the top 10 most valuable players in college football to a point spread. I have more 6 points. So I immediately got out of bed, and obviously the first place I go to in Vegas at that hour before 6 a.m. would be the South Point. It's closest to me, and also it's open 24/7. So what you do there is, I don't know if you necessarily go to the counter in that regard, because you kind of want to keep a low profile. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to kick me out or anything, but this is the type of stuff, if you're betting injury information like this, this is the stuff that draws red flags if you want to, you know, fly under the radar. So what do? You go to the kiosk. You can't bet a ton at the kiosk. They'll require a player's card, anything above $200 at the South Point. But you start firing away. And obviously, one first thing you would think of is week one game. It just so happens Wake Forest doesn't play an FBS team, so no line yet on their week one game. But the good thing about South Point, they have a lot of different ways you can attack Wake Forest, like conference win total, a couple of game of the year lines and whatnot. And then I just so happened, after I was done with the South Point, went over to stations. They, at least in town, they had the best season win total price. Wasn't able to get much. So, I mean, to show you that you really, you know, even if you're trying to be sneaky on a kiosk, guys, they allowed me to bet $300 without a player's card at the betting kiosk at stations on the win total. After one $300 bet, they took the win total off the board.
Mm. Wow. Okay, this is a fun discussion. So would you also advise, how about hitting it for $50 and hit it till they run out of paper, as our friend Paul Allen would say? I mean, because you're right. At this time of day, and we know, it is very difficult on the app to even get a $100 bet in at 6:05 in the morning. So what's your approach to even doing it like the Frank B. approach? If it's 10, 11 in the morning, if you just want to hit it $50 increments at the counter or at the kiosk and keep hitting it.
Yeah, I guess I'm just not that much of a patient person. I'm
thinking okay.
That I'm going to be able to hit it for, I should though. I mean, that's good advice. And maybe something I'll do in the future. What I try to do is just, you know, 150, 200, 250, whatever that breaking point is where it requires a player's card. I try to hit it for that, and then see how many times I can hit it. I haven't had necessarily a lot of luck. I mean, earlier this season, I mean, this is something that I'm not doing every day, obviously.
Sure.
I'm just betting to get out of bed and actually physically go to do something. Mm-hmm. I'm needing something like this to happen. The other time I did it, the last time I did it was the NFL draft, when the market was
moving on Aiden Hutchinson not being the first pick and Walker being the first pick. It was a Monday morning,
yeah,
and the odds had totally flipped with Walker being a favorite. I'm down at the South Point, you know, betting all that I can on that one. And that was one where I made like two bets. They pulled the whole market down.
Man. You know, the other one, too, if you can't dazzle them with brilliance, baffle them with BS, you're out. And if you do it at the counter, they'll say, why are you betting $50 increments and doing so many tickets? You can just come up and say, you know, my family's a big Wake Forest fan, and they want future action or whatever it may be, even though you're betting the under. Oh, in this case, it would hurt you because you're betting the under. But if you want to do something from a total future standpoint, rather, that's where you're, you know, if you could same something with the family.
So how many spots did you go to in total, Brad? Was it just the one spot, or did you go to multiple spots?
Yeah, just South Point stations. And then at that point, I mean, even though it's early in the morning, I mean, stuff was taken down. And people are going to ask, you know, why didn't you bet Circa? They had a really good price on the season win total, 8. I mean, a lot of the other places had 8.5. I mean, that's already, I was taking 50 cents plus, you know, half win's worth that much. So that's why I didn't bet a lot there.
So, see, so 8.5, 9 before. So you make it 6.5 now if he's out an extended period of time?
I mean, if he's out the whole season, I would make it 6.5. So, okay. I mean, that's worth quite a bit. Now, the word is Sam Hartman's going to be back at some point. It's not going to be a season ender. But and then you look at the schedule, people are going to be like, whoa, I mean, how much does it really affect things? You know, when you look, they're going to be a sizable favorite in their first three games, and then they'll be a sizable underdog against Clemson. And I'm here to tell you, The best bet on the board, in my opinion, was something that wasn't offered in Vegas. I mean, it was a game of the year line at a couple of books like in Jersey area, the Clemson game where Clemson's laying single digits at home to Wake Forest. That would have been the absolute best bet to make there in week four to fade Wake in that game.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you next about the games of the year. So if that was single digits at the time, I mean, right now, just assuming for the sake of this segment that Hartman's not going to play against Clemson, that game comes up September 24th, what would you make that number right now?
Yeah, so, I mean, that would go anywhere from the 8-9 Clemson favored by to at least 14. So, I mean, and it's tough crossing to a relatively key number, but maybe even going slightly higher than 14. So, yeah, that would have been a nice thing to get involved in. And a couple of the win totals, I actually was on Wake Forest at the South Point against Louisville in one of those games. I just tried to get off a little bit, even though that's a game later in the season. So I was just looking for some middles there.
Yeah, they play at NC State. So high expectations for that team. I know plenty of people high on the Wolfpack this year. So that if he can't play in that game, that number's going to get out of control.
Absolutely. So, I mean, even though Wake Forest is a defending, you know, division champ, I still have NC State better in my power ratings. Clemson's obviously better. You know, in that same division, I think Florida State and Louisville are comparable, even with Sam Hartman as a quarterback. So, you know, they'll fall even below them and actually fall to about the Boston College range. So, they'll be a bottom 2-3 team in that division. So, yeah, it was you don't find too many opportunities like that to get a player like that that's going to be out a significant time to fade. Problem is, guys, it goes back to a problem I have in Vegas. I mean, news is breaking on the East Coast. Now, you can bet this stuff on the East Coast. A lot of these apps aren't open. I mean, not to criticize, but the Westgate and the South Point, those apps aren't open till like 8 a.m. Pacific. I mean, you lose a lot of value being here in Vegas. And, you know, I almost drove to Arizona, the 50-minute drive to Arizona, to make some bets there to DraftKings. I mean, that's how important it was. I just didn't get around to it. Call me lazy.
Yeah. Well, we briefly, you know, we've touched on that with you in the past. Have you considered maybe moving out of Las Vegas and going to a different state?
Absolutely. And I'm not the only one. I think, a really popular tweet a couple of days ago was a guy, you know, I had to do my fantasy in another state, and then I had to go – but, you know, consider making a bet in another state. So, yeah, absolutely. Is it something that's going to happen, obviously, this year? No. Next year, probably not. But I would say it's a favorite that I'm not in Vegas within 5 years.
Yeah, within 5 years. And I know other people who have, like you said the same exact thing. You can follow him on Twitter. He is at BradPower7. Thanks so much for the perspective today, Brad. We appreciate that.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
Yeah, I like his line. Money never sleeps.
Yep, fun discussion.
Better work to win.
Got to make the drive, right? Make the bet in Arizona and get A&W. across the root beer. The mug. That's right.
Well, you won't even go there for that now, so.
Right. Mm. He could bring it back for us. It's a fun discussion because you don't want to call attention to yourself or what you're doing. I mean, I know you are shocked. We're shocked how many times you just want to put in $100 or $200 bet on a future and they move the line on you, but they don't even take it. It's like, what are you doing? Yeah. Not even taking a bet.
I can expand on this coming up. I made a kiosk run during the draft myself.
Got to jam the kiosk.
And I'll tell you what I had to do, by the way. It goes to what you told him because of trying to be careful. And I know the history of this sports book. So you had to be really careful in what I did to kind of get around that. I'll expand on that. And also, we have some of these series starting in Major League Baseball tonight are gigantic. We'll run a rundown today's card coming up next.
VSEN, the sports betting network.
Get up, you beast. Time for Jeff Siegel picks. Top horse racing plays. Express bet analyst Saratoga in the seventh. He likes the 3. Gallon a rush at 4-1. And at Del Mar in the first race, he likes the 6. Warren's Paradise on top at 5-2. Get a $10 free bet when you sign up today for the First Bet app, the top app that we like at VSEN. Use the code HORSE200 for the $10, plus get 100% match on the first deposit up to $200. With wagering at more than 300 tracks and AI-assisted picks, the First Bet app's the easiest way to bet on your favorite sport. Secure payments, great customer service, reliable website, VSiN.com/horses for details. VSiN.com/horses.
Here we go, Paulie. Can't wait to talk to this guy again. It's been far too long. The great Chuck Edel joins the program now, professional sports bettor. Here to talk some preseason football. Good morning, Chuck. How are you today, pal?
Hey, good morning. Great to be with you guys.
Thanks, Chuck. Good to have you back. You were missed. We got so many damn tweets about you. Where's Chuck? We want winners. And Chuck's the best at the preseason as well. And we have this is great to talk to you now with Chuck Edel on Twitter as well. How about that? Let's start with the card. How about 3:00 Pacific, the first game? You have a play here with Detroit and Atlanta. Take it away, please.
Yeah, a small play here. You know, both these coaches last year were 0-3 for the preseason, so they obviously aren't those type of coaches. But Atlanta is going to play their starters, Mariota and Ritter, the kid, the court. He's going to see majority of the playing time. And then on the other side, you got all three quarterbacks are going to play, Goff, Boyle, and Blau. They all know the system for Detroit. Mm-hmm. They're all familiar with it. Meanwhile, both quarterbacks for Atlanta, new to the system. Atlanta also has Franks. They're putting at tight end this year, but he might play a little quarterback as well. So I think you got a small edge here, Detroit. They're also kind of in game planning. You don't see too many coaches game plan a little bit, even though they haven't admitted it, but I did hear that they were game planning a little bit for this game. So I made a little bit of a play in Detroit. Should be like a pick 'em at 3:00 today.
Okay.
How about this total now? It's gotten way too far away, but the Cleveland-Jacksonville game, and where the numbers at as well. Cleveland now won 1.5, but it bumped up from 33, basically, Chuck, to 37.5 after the Watson news.
Yeah, big move there. Peterson, he also announced that he was going to play his starters maybe 2-3 series. So it budged up maybe a drop then, but as soon as Cleveland said they're going to play their starters, including Watson, he's going to start this game, and we'll see how long they go, maybe up to a quarter here. That total really went up to 37, like you said. And 33 was a good number. 37 here, I'd probably stay away, but if you were able to get in on it early, that was a good number.
How many of these moves are responsible, are syndicates that you know of responsible for? Most of them?
Most of them. A lot of moves. I mean, obviously sharp money, you know, whether it's a syndicate or just a lot of sharp money. Moving on them, especially preseason. You know, you could get away during the regular season at an NFL game, bet a lot of money and maybe not being able to move the screen. But preseason kind of stands out a little bit, not as much money being bet on that. So the line moves definitely a lot more here for this for the preseason.
You watch every press conference. What's been the best comment or so in deciphering what's good, what's bad, and BS with coaches? What's been some of the key comments you've heard from a coach or two thus far?
Well, I will say the most interesting press conferences. I don't know if you've had an opportunity, guys, to watch the Miami Dolphins coach.
Mm-hmm.
He's a character. I mean, this guy's a character. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how they do. But McDaniels is one of those coaches that's kind of an interesting guy to listen to. But you know, you hear a lot of things like the Denver Cowboy game today. McCarthy kind of came out and said him and Hackett are good friends. If it wasn't for Hackett, he said he probably wouldn't be here right now. They talked already before this game. They both talked to each other what their needs were, and they're going to run plays to help out each other. So that's a real aware type of game. They're going to, so might not be as much, I don't want to say intensity, but both coaches are kind of helping each other out. Not much going on in the game. You're not going to see Russell Wilson there. But these teams have been scrimmaging against each other too. And that's another thing in preseason. A lot of maybe in the last 5-10 years, you see these teams scrimmaging against each other before they actually play a game. What happens a lot of times when teams scrimmage against each other, they don't really play their starters once it comes game time, because they're playing their starters in these scrimmages, and they don't feel that it's necessary to play them in a game. So it's something to keep an eye on. If you could find, sometimes you might have an edge where one of the teams might play their starters still even after a scrimmage.
Let's go to the late game tonight on TV. How about the 49ers and Packers? What'd you do with this game?
I played this game over. There's a couple things going on here. Shanahan, he's gonna play a start. His starters are gonna play this game. His starters this year, he already did say, speaking of the press conferences, he came right out and said he's gonna play his starters week one, and week three, week two. He's gonna have a scrimmage against a team, so they're not gonna play their starters. But this is Shanahan's trying to get this offense going now. That's his main thing right now with the new quarterback. They're really stressing on the offense here. And on the other side of the ball, you're going to see Love play quarterback for Green Bay. No Rodgers, of course, but Love's going to play. But LaFleur's going to put in he's going to play with the offensive line starters. So you're going to see the offensive line starters for Green Bay in there with Love. He wants to give him an opportunity. You're going to see some starting offensive wide receivers getting some experience in this game. So they're both kind of, stressing offense a little more in this game. They're both happy with their defenses at this time. Green Bay's defense improved this year as well. For a preseason game, I like this to go over.
Yeah, and you played it at right around the current number?
I played it actually at 32.5. It's creeped up a little bit now at 33.5, but I think it's still playable.
Still playable. Okay. Pittsburgh and Seattle, kind of the same thing here. Tell us why you like the over in this game.
Yes, another game where, both these teams are looking for offense. So what Tomlin's going to do here, he's going to play his starters the first quarter and Trubisky. Now, I know we're all not Trubisky fans, including myself here, but preseason, this is a guy who could do, that's a totally different ballgame. I've seen Trubisky do good in the preseason. Once the season starts, he might be looking for his mommy's womb. But during the season, but he's okay for the preseason. Second team is going to come in for the second quarter, and that's going to be Rudolph, and then you're going to see Pickett play at some point with the third team. So again, a big, all three quarterbacks. Pickett's probably a little bit of a long shot here at the moment, even though by the end of the season he'll be starting. But all three quarterbacks in a race here, and then on the Seattle side, you got Geno Smith and Drew Lock. Carroll said they're going to see a lot of action this game. He's trying to get their offense going, so I do like this over. Again, both these teams good defenses. Even though Seattle's got a new defense coordinator this year, and they switched to a 3-4 defense. So they're probably going to play pretty vanilla defense in this game because they're adjusting to a new system. So it's another little bit of an edge there for the over.
How about the, because you like to dabble and get involved in first halves, which aren't out yet, but your thoughts on the Chiefs against the Bears Saturday, and could this be a first half opportunity as well?
Yeah, this is the one first half that I'll wait to come out and hopefully, maybe get like a minus 130 on the money line. This is going to be probably one of those weird games where you see Kansas City's -1 for the game. They're probably going to be a bigger favorite than that for the first half. And that's only something you'll probably ever see. It would be in the preseason. But Kansas City, they're going to play their starters the first quarter. That's Andy Reid. He's sticking to his guns. And then you got Chad Henne as the backup and Shane Buechel behind him. Bears are also going to play their starters 15 or 20 plays, but they're having some problems this year. The Bears very weak at the offensive line still. Their wide receivers are banged up. They already were weak at that position. They've had a lot of injuries already in the preseason. Their top guy, who they got from New England, he's out. And so I think, again, the Bears are going to struggle a little bit here this year. And I think Kansas City first half, if you get like a minus 130 money line, I think it's going to be a good play.
Okay. Anything else that you're looking at for tomorrow?
Nothing that I play. You know, the Chargers game kind of was interesting to me because we know McVay really does not care about the preseason too much. He's not going to play his starters. The Chargers aren't going to play most of their veteran starters either. Some will see action. But Chase Daniels is going to start for the Chargers, and this is one of the best preseason quarterbacks that there ever been. Yeah. This guy is he's made a career by being good in the preseason. So it went from 3 to 3.5. I missed the number a little bit there, but something that I might take a look at is the Chargers.
All right, pal. It's great to talk to you again.
Yes.
Thanks so much for the time today, and looking forward to your appearances all year long here on this show. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Here we go.
And he's on Twitter, at Chuck Edel. Last name is spelled E-D-E-L. I like the angle on Chiefs' money line for the first half, but again, these in the preseason, first halves are not exactly readily available at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows where they're going to open up. It's interesting. Could they actually have a pick 'em on the game, or Chiefs 1 for the game and 3 for the first
half?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. Awesome.
Okay. Up next, we'll get into our in-pocket plays. I'll tell you some of the bets that I've made in the preseason on some of these games as well that we have starting this weekend. And load it up, Paulie.
Yes.
You ready to go?
Ready to go. Great videos.
Yes. Free play Friday to cap off the week as well.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.